Spirit of God and by the way that the Lord moves who those of us who are in a moment is burdened by the Holy Spirit, that our name is at no harm, we're ready for Jesus to come back right now. And then, you know, sometimes we get really humane about it, as if we have more mercy than God. And we say things like, well, you know, I don't want Jesus to come back right now because there's so many people in the world who aren't saved yet. There are going to be people in the world who are not saved when he does come back. There are going to be many people who have heard the gospel so many times. Some have come in and heard and have gone out. If you ever turn to God at any point in time, don't ever fall under the deception of the devil that I can't make it back or that it's not true. Give any inkling in you, in your spirit, turns you to God. He says in Romans in one place, he talks about it. He says in the last days when men fall away, one of the things that you don't ever want to come to is he says they will no longer want God in their
knowledge. Yes.
You don't ever want to be in a place where you never hear anyone at least say thank you, Jesus. And you don't ever want to be in a state of mind where it irritates you when you're going through it. Someone says, well, what have you prayed? You say, don't tell me about no prayer. You don't want to get there. You always want to be someone. Don't ever become someone who's uncoachable. Someone that you can't help when you want to help it. Someone who's not open to help. But you're always looking for someone that enables you, that enables that will help you not be right. That way people are able not to be right. That is the objective. But as my life would have it, my grandfather was a preacher. That's why I'm trying to get that grandson going. He's doing this up. But then I was sitting in the house. And my son, who's 51 now, was taking music lessons, and this music teacher came in, and I'm sitting there watching a football game and just indulging, you know, and me and a friend of mine, she says, she just sit there for a moment, you know, this is where I'm going. And she sat there for a moment. She said, ask me. Actually, she came for her money. And she's in Church of God in Christ, and she was a holy woman of God. She said to me, she said, do you play? I said, yeah, I play. I play bass. I had played in 9 years. Matter of fact, I had sold my bass. Wasn't worried about it. I'd come out of the band and all that stuff. So now, didn't really think I'd ever play again, per se. She said, well, I'm sure he's a bass player. Well, they had one. His name was Ellis. Ellis Henry. Name of back, so it wasn't Henry Ellis. Ellis Henry. And she said, he's got a call to the ministry, and he doesn't like the transition from being in a musician's section into coming to the pulpit. He wants to sit in the pulpit. And I said, well, I don't have a bass. She said, well, let you play music. This is an offer that you can't do. I always know the difference between a true musician and someone who's messing around. Those true musicians will always take the opportunity. They always do. So I said to myself, I'm sitting there. I said, sure, I'll come. So I came. Went in there. Had played in 9 years. It hadn't occurred to me that in 9 years, I couldn't do what I used to do. You know? No, I wasn't rusty. I was crushed. Hadn't occurred to me. But I went. And it was the Lord. So well, what happened after that? Did you go in and out? Been there. And they, as I was talking to you this morning, and I had a good pastor at the time. He passed about 4 or 5 years ago. His name was Bishop Kelly. I was in South Dakota. I had a good pastor. And I came in, and I smoked. And I did this, and I did all these things. And people said, you know, let him play. And he said, yeah, as long as you come. One by one, the Lord just ticked them off. One by one. And he gave me an opportunity, and I thank God for the common sense that God has given me to take advantage of opportunities that God. And what he did was he reached way back. He Matthew the 5th chapter. I'm going now. He uses different things to different people, and if it had not, since I had a church background, he went back and told me what the song meant that I had learned so many years ago, "I Am Thine, O Lord," which I sang so many times, but never felt anything with this song that he sang. And now all of a sudden, when I say, "Draw me nearer," I got it. Now it's life to me. And all the songs, you know, consecrated me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine, that my soul was up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Do you know what it's like to lose your will in God? It doesn't mean that you become someone who's uncontrollable. You're not like the man in the tombs and you're running around and you don't know what you're doing, whether you're coming or going. It is that God becomes preeminent. And you do nothing except that it allows itself to fall into the will of God. You have to always consider when you touch everything in your career, in your life, and you're forever mindful of whether it be finances or whatever it is, where your career, your endeavor, how does this affect my stand in God, and how does this line up with the will of God for me, and what is the will of God? I'm so glad you asked. That I will have everlasting life. That I will have everlasting life. Christ only died for one reason. He did not die, even though God blesses me. I have no problem with people being very rich. I have no problem with finances. Matter of fact, I wish I had more money myself. But the reality is Christ did not die on the cross of Calvary so that I would be rich. He could have stayed in heaven and done that for me, because the silver is his and the gold is his. That means God controls the finances. He controls how it goes. It's a small thing for God to. Matter of fact, let me do this, and I really am going to ask. Do y'all mind how you mind that? Talking about the traditional church, they look at me, you know, the old cats, I'm not there. But I have my Bible, if it bothers you, I'll give it up to you, because you know how to translate. I might have to, if I can't get the phone. I need to be set free from sin. And sin, not deeds, but the power of sin was what was in the garden. And it is itself irreparable. And the person who has it, it's a terminal disease. The only way you go free from it is to die. And my love, as is yours, how to die to sin and yet live. Christ died for me. That's why you have to have that. And then by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, of God the Father, he resurrected him and gave me that new life. That's so much to learn, isn't it? And it took me a while to get there. But after the fifth chapter. And seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. Now, I'm going to skip all the way down to verse 13, and then I'm going to come back. And he said, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith all shall it be salted. It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world." Ye are the light of the world. And I want you to stay there for a moment. Now go back up to verse number 3. And then Jesus begins to say to them, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And every time he says blessed, you know, he says blessed, I don't want us to ever get to the point that if you're downtrodden and you're not doing well and you're going through, well, I'm blessed. That's not what it means. It means there is a blessing in God for all of you who are going through. Who are poor in spirit, the Lord will bring you out. You see, because he's going to point out to them in this Sermon on the Mount why they need God. Yeah. And he's going to say to them the benefits of it. There's two kinds of, you know, there's a sermon that says to you, if you don't have God, you'll go to hell. If you don't have God, you'll go to hell. You're going to burn in the fire. And it'll scare you to death. And it says, you better get right now, because you're all on your way to hell. And it'll scare you to death, but it won't last. Because you only stay afraid.
wait for so long. Fear only works for a little while. Fear only works for a little while. If I hold a gun in your head, the longer I hold it, don't pull the trigger, the bolder you become. But God would not have you, and if I said that, I would be telling the truth. But God would not have you come to heaven simply because you were afraid of what will happen to you if you don't. That's like having, got these three fine sons. And then the only reason why they obey their father is because they are afraid. If you don't do your homework, I'm going to beat you. If you don't make up your bed, I'm going to beat you. If you don't eat all your food, I'm going to kick you out the house. If you don't. That's not why our kids love us. They love us and they love us and respect us for who we are. Not about Christmas gifts or Easter, whatever. They learn to love and respect us because of who we are. They're not afraid that when they come in, and like, even when they're wrong, they consider that we are the kind of parents that we're not gonna take them out and hang them. I feel like they're hung for a minute, but it's the deal. But they love us and respect us for who we are. We need to learn God so that we learn to trust God, not because we're afraid of being lost, but because we find Him to be a loving and concerned and compassionate Savior. Yes. And because we find out that He is our only hope.
Yes.
In everything. So He starts off by talking to them what they're going through. And Jesus is time, and I need to be mindful of the time. And Jesus is time. It is a difficult period. The last prophet that you have written in the Bible was 500 years ago. That was Malachi. And the last thing he told of any significance, and people don't like to listen to that, he said, pay your tithes. Which you should. You make a lot of money, but you're not mind paying your tithes. And during this period, the people of Israel are like they are now. If you the longer you go without having a move of the Spirit, and the longer you go without having the Word of God, the further from God you go. This is why you can't come to church once and be saved and never come back. You have to be renewed, and because we dwell in one of these mortal bodies that die daily, and because we have this feeble mind, we have, says, oh, my mind's not feeble. I'm a genius. I've got a 300 degree, I've got a 300 IQ. But is this corrupted by sin that it's feeble? And it tends to do what it wants to do since we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Born in sin after Adam and shaped in iniquity. And iniquity means the wickedness or our wicked thoughts or our wicked plans, the things that we do. We've learned to do them. We've learned to be slick. We know how to be slick. And when we come to God, we don't just stop learning to be being slick because we come to God. We get slick into God. Yes, we do. We want to take a shortcut to everything. Well, that's okay. That won't get your name blotted out. That's why you have to keep coming. That's why you have to have some reverence to God. Remember now, for all those who have fathers and mothers, my mother died in 1977, and she had nothing to do with me from the time I was 3 to the time I was 33. My father, I never knew. But I always learned from my mind, if I ever had known either one of them, I would have been a good son. Tried to be one for the last few years that she had. So, well, you're just a wonderful person. No, it is the grace of God.
Yes.
It is where He put me, and I let Him.
Yes.
Why won't you let God do what God does? And He says to them, if your poor in spirit, in other words, you're down, it's lacking, you're going through, whether it be spirit as in spiritually or whether it just be in frame of mind, mindset, what you're going through. He says, there is a blessing. I come today, because He told them, when I'm here, the kingdom of heaven is here, and I come to tell you, I can lift you up.
Amen.
You're going to be all right. He says, blessed are they that mourn, and shows that I was looking at mourn. And I was preparing for this because we always talk about, if I say mourn, the first thing that comes to your mind is a funeral. Somebody died. No, not just that. And that we know how to mourn. But when He says, blessed are you that mourn,
after Malachi, and this is the time when they're really going through it. They're under the Roman occupation. They, you know, they're in a situation worse than Trump.
Yeah.
And they, you know, and they have virtually nothing. And it's like today when we look at inflation, and every time we go to the pump, we mourn.
Yeah, right.
A sad pressure comes over us when we get our electrical bill. Florida Power Light just took over our electrical bills double. I felt myself like, hey, I just didn't go to camp. But I got to keep the air conditioning on the week. Sit in the dark, I got to be cool. But when he was talking, remember, get in the setting, he's talking to people who are having a difficult time, and they're groaning and moaning, and there's no hope in sight of overthrowing the Roman occupation. And they are, and they have a temple worship, and they have the law of Moses, but the law of Moses tells you what you can't do, tells you the penalty of it, but it has no power. It just says, don't kill. Well, what happens if I don't? Well, then you won't be able to kill anybody. They need deliverance, and it would not bring them out. And those who sit in the churches, much like today, as we see it sometimes, they were fat, dumb, happy, enjoying themselves. And the people were going through, and Jesus was speaking to them, and he says, look, there's a way out. You're in a difficult time. He says, but you shall be coming. In other words, you can work this. We're going to work this out. Blessed are the meek. Those who, Jesus says, and today, then he goes into it from the other direction. He says, and blessed are the meek. And he's not talking about the people who lay down and let people walk over them. He's talking about the people who will obey and the people who will conform to God. And the people who will do what is right. I had a conversation. Paul and I had an opportunity. Never been as marched in my life, but I was in Rhode Island. But we still have brothers. With her brother and her sister, and they did a Stop the Gun Violence march. We got a chance to march with them. That was an interesting experience because I met a lot of people. One of them was the lady I talked to, was a clinical psychologist. And we were talking about this thing, the Joe and gun violence and things. And I said, well, people really need the Spirit of God because of God's righteousness. And righteousness points to doing what is right. And she says to me, she said, well, you know, you don't always know what's right. What you consider right might not be right. And I realized right then that I was just chapter five. Because you don't get the point of what righteousness is. It isn't that Paul is right or I'm right, because she and I can tell you, we can house right now, and the only reason why we don't grumble louder is because the house is not big enough. But the point of it is we both have our own opinions, and everything that I think is right is not necessarily right, and so forth and so on. That's not the right I'm talking about. I'm talking about the right that comes from God that says to me, I should not do this because it is simply wrong. Yeah. It's wrong if I do it, is stronger than anybody else does. And it comes from God through this conscience, which is this faculty of our spirit that tells us what is right and wrong in God. There's a point in us, and the reason why in Rome that tells us that the first thing God does, even when he saved me, when the Lord saved me, the first thing he had to do was purge my conscience from all the things I thought were all right. That weren't right, but I thought they were all right. And I wasn't being convicted or condemned in them because I felt like they were right. And my conscience wasn't convicting me because my conscience was corrupted by sin. So when the Holy Ghost came in, one of the first things he had to do was purge out, and he called them dead works. Things that lead to death. So that God could show, convict me and convince me of what is right. And what if I like some of them? Because I'm not like the people who say when I was in sin, I thought I liked it. When I was in sin, I liked it. I like the clubs, I like playing, I just like it all the way up. And that's why it took deliverance to bring me out of it. If you're waiting till you stop doing something that's wrong to be saved, you'll never do it. That's what the cross was all about. That's why it took such a great amount of power to bring. If you're still convincing yourself of how you're all right with God, and yet, in the Word of God and everybody else that shows that you should do something different, hey, look, you have nothing to lose and everything to change everything to gain, because God never changes anything about us. He never stops us from doing anything that isn't destroying us. And if it doesn't destroy you in this life, it destroys you in the life to come. So he says to them, because I'm getting wrong, I lost my glasses. first out the righteousness. That's pretty good. All the people who really want God, everybody who really wants God, he says, you are going to be filled. If you want God, the biggest problem I have out of church right now, very small congregation, and we talk to people all the time. You know what the problem is? People don't pretend like they want God. We have a middle-aged group right now from 25 to 35 who really, the devil has an ad campaign that is off the charts. And if you would do as the Bible says in one place, and here we go with the Bible, and everybody wants to challenge it. Well, the Bible, is this the only thing you, is this all you got? There's no other book ever been written like it. And if you would do what God says in one place when he speaks in Isaiah, and he says, come now, let us reason together. If you would consider that you're, I'm at an age now where I might have 19 years left in my life, I hope. Maybe 20. But if you consider, and when I say this, how short our life is in earth and that eternity lasts forever, I like to do it since I have all these brilliant college minds. I'll tell you like this, just as an example, and it might not be too involved inside of here, but just as an example, if you just use the example of one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day, if you just use that timetable, which is referring to infinity, but if you use it in a strictest sense and measure it, if you live to be 100 years old, you're only 2 hours and 24 minutes into God's time. If you're an hour and 12 minutes. That's how brief your life is. If you use that, and really that's just an example because it just, there's no measure for infinity. So he says to them, everybody who will allow the word to come in, and we were talking yesterday and the other day about having, we were saying, as far as having witnesses, the people on the street corners and those who were panhandling and those things. And I was talking to Elder Brother Latham about the contrast between are we helping them or enabling them? And the point of it being, hey, you know, always give them $1, $2 or whatever because you're not supposed to give, you know, to the poor and do these things. And then I considered, but you've been on him long enough now, you must have had at least 50 preachers come through and ask you, will you just come to our church and hear about God? And will you give God some time? Because there's not a person in here who, when you hear about God, doesn't need to give God some time. Because none of us, at the time you say, oh, I wish I would just love God would save me here, change me from mortal to a mortal, even right then. I would not worry about preaching to you. Give God some time, we say. Come to service and see what God's about, and we'll help you out. We will only help you financially, but we'll get, you know, we'll get God to working for you. We'll pray for you. We'll work with you. And the reason why we're out here in the conversation I've had with both of my children, and all of them are still going to be for us, you know, there's a thing where people are down on their luck, but for the most part, most people are out into the streets today because of their own decision. And nobody wants to hear that. So, well, they're mentally ill, they're this and that and the other, whatever. That might be true, and there are probably a lot of them. I pray the Lord will help them, but there are so many of them are there because they're undecided. So were they choosing ministry? No. They chose not to study. And they chose to leave school early. And they chose to play hook. And they chose to try drugs. And they chose to do this. And they chose to do that when they were younger. When they were teenagers. When they were this. When they were that. Many of them, and that's not mean, that doesn't mean I don't feel sorry for them, I don't want them to live. God knows I do. I would love for them to see the power of God in the living. But one of the first things you have to do when you come to God is you have to repent. That means you have to say to yourself, I have been wrong. So he says to them, I'll keep going. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So he's saying to these people as I'm finishing,
He says, if you will, he says, for all of you who go through these things, he says, God is going to bless you and God's going to work things out. He has pretty much summed up everything that everybody sitting on the side of this hill is going through. And he's saying to you, if you're sick physically, you're going to be delivered because I came to heal the broken heart. I came for the recovering of sight to the blind. I came to heal. I came to deliver. It's going to work out. If you're going through because you're troubled and you have nothing, God's going to work it out. You need to come to God. But there's a reason. And it is down here in 14. Because we are the light of the world. And a city that sits on a hill cannot be hid. Neither have been hid behind a candle. But put it under a bushel or a candlestick. The reason why God worked out things in my life, so that people can see the light of God in me. You can preach all you want. You can witness all you want. But you have to be the light bulb that's always on. You can't turn the light on when you want to. And sometimes you turn it off and be in darkness. You can't hide it under a bushel. So what does it mean to hide under a bushel? It means you have a light, but because of your personality, because of your soul life, because of your personal life, no one can see it. You're in God, but we don't know that you are. And it doesn't, so what does it matter? I know my own heart. Because we're supposed to be lights to the world. This is how we convince people that God is real. It's not in the power of us. But there's only, you know, you can have all the charisma you want. There are powerful speakers, and unfortunately, some of them lead to the dark side. But the point being is, every one of us, if we would do what it says in the other verses, allow him to deliver us through a fourth spirit, if we would allow him to work with us who are going through, he would be our answer, not the world's answer. If we would allow him to bring us through in dark days and difficult times, if we would turn to be merciful, if we would learn to be peacemakers. How many people in here love to argue? You just love to argue. And I know Crystal has a debate team. If you really love to argue, go join the debate team. But otherwise, stop arguing. You know, everything is not a controversy. I have. There are some people, and you say, well, does Bishop Smith have authority in this side? I do. People love to argue with me. I can sit in meetings and I can use a word. There's one person sits across me and as soon as I say, it don't mean that. My God, isn't that important to you? Some people love to argue. Peace is so far from you. And it's one of the most liberating things you can do is make peace. Amen. And the reason why, blessed are the people saved, for they shall be called children of God. They're the offspring of God, because the one thing that God has given to every one of us, and the one thing he wants to do, is reconciliation. Amen. To make peace with us. I don't know why anyone wants to argue with God. There's a plane in the United States, and I'm going up by your arms too short to box with God. I don't know why anyone would want to have a difficult time with God, but his whole purpose is to restore and to reconcile and to bring peace and to give you the life that he planned on us to have when he created us. He says in this, don't hide your light. You got a light, your name, but don't hide. He says you shouldn't have to convince anyone that you're saved. They should see it. And so see it how? Because I wear, I've got Jesus, I got a Jesus shirt, I got a couple of those. I got a Jesus style cross all down the front, my life is sad, says blessed, all of which are fine with me. No, they should see it because when everybody else is acting silly, they should see the truth. When no one else can come to any resolution, they should see that you're different. In the way that you handle whatever it is, when the jokes, if the office turns south, they can see that you don't launch into a sermon, but you quietly leave them alone. And it's got beyond the part. And in time, they'll start to figure out, he's different. She's different. Your children can see, but they can tell that you're the sort of parent that you know how to discipline them, but you correct the child without destroying them. Because that's what God knows how to do with you. Learn how to temper yourself so that, he says, let your moderation be known in all things. In other words, your temperament is such that your reputation is not You know, I love the Lord. I love the Lord, and I'm full of Holy Ghost, but don't mess with me now. But I'm still a Johnson.
Yes.
No, you're not still a Johnson. You're somebody whose name has been held high.
Yes.
Why cover up that life with being a Johnson?
Yes.
Or whoever else you are.
Yes.
I can be a Smith and still be alive.
Yes.
And all the other Smiths in the family that don't have a light, we have the same light as same, but you don't have the same light I have, and you're not going to have a light. So when does your light need to shine? It needs to shine when me and Paul are visiting you, and she and I have a disagreement, and we don't start throwing your shine. They are looking at how we argue. They're looking at what we disagree about. They're saying whether she respects me or not. They're looking at how I govern my children and my grandchildren. They look at me on my job all these years. I've been in Air Force for 27 years. They're looking at me to see what magazines I read, literally. And they're looking at me to see what I, you know, what I laugh at or what I have fun at and where I am. They're looking to see if my light is shining or is it covered? And when I'm at work, I'm not preaching, because when you're being paid, you're not paid to preach at work, so don't.
Yes.
You just need to be a light.
A light, yes.
And he says, make your light so shine. All of you.
Yes.
When you stop being spiritually down, when you know, all of you whose spirit is going through it, the election's all wearing you out. You know what I'm doing? You know what I do? So Mr. Smith on the election's about me. No, I'll stop watching. So don't you want to know what's going on in the world? Hey, when it's time to vote, I go vote. I don't do what y'all are trying to do every day. It affects my soul.
Yes.
Because it's continually evil, and if all you do is pump in evil all day, you're like, well, I need to know what's going on in the world. Just know this. Know this. In the beginning, in the garden, when Adam fell, the earth was condemned. It has not changed. And Satan became the ruler of this world. And all the systems called the world are of a condemned system. So do you work in it? I do, because I need money just like you do. But when I look for it, and when I say, well, do you have investments? I do. But I'm forever aware of how it affects my life in Christ. Say, do you have a job? I did. I'm retired. Do I have one now? Yeah, I do. I play drum sometimes, play bass sometimes, preach sometimes. Have a congregation, have a jurisdiction. I do. But what if the world? That's a ministry. That's not in the world. It is on earth. And I have to be aware of how it affects my standing God. Who? So, well, how does that work? I'm glad you asked. Do you know how many people from time to time you'll say to yourself when you get angry with them, I'm done with that? And the Lord will say to me, I've never been done with you. And then I have to say, well, when they come back, I will be here. Because it affects my standing. Now, don't you know, when you start considering that, you can't not forgive? You don't want not to forgive? Because you're a peacemaker. And if they never forgive you and never apologize, it's easy to forgive people who come up and say, you know, I'm so sorry. You know, please forgive me. There's snot coming running and everything else. You say, yeah, you feel bigger. Yeah, you know, I'll forgive you. And then you testify about, well, you know, they've done me wrong. And when they carry me back out, I'm able. What do you do when they die and they have to fall down? And what do you do when they have to fall down? And you really want to make it worse than that? What happens when you need to forgive somebody yet who not only has not apologized? They haven't even come to it. They've been wrong. And you would say, well, you know, I would not forgive them, but I wish they'd at least come to understand how they did it. No. When Jesus forgave me, he never one time said to me, you know what? You've been wrong forever. And I can come to him, but no, I'd still be repenting of all the things I did. I'd have a list that would fill this room. So when you have that, if you consider, was I a drug abuser, was I a drug sub-drug dealer, was I a pimp, was I all these things? No, I wasn't any of those. But it didn't take all those to fill the room. It was all the
said, and the evil things you did, and the thoughts you had, and the people you did this with, and those who did that. We need to ask God to forgive us every day because his mind is quick. And if you stop at a stoplight and it's red, and you don't take off when it turns green, and I'm behind you, I have to repent because I'm already decided that you should be destroyed in your whole bloodline because you're holding me up. And you don't get it.
And then the Holy Ghost comes and says, look at you. Look at you. Look at you. The person who made you mad at work is probably your mirror. And the people who get on your nerves the most are probably your mirror. And you say, Lord, function is different from them. And he says, I'll deliver them. You from them when you see you. Because they have your life. They keep you from shining. When they walk up, they are darkness. What a great time for your light to shine. When they come up, I don't need my light shining as noon. I need it shining when it's dark. Everybody shine. And he told them, so Paul, in that commission, the example of it. Is there anybody here who really loves Jesus? Paul
is an example. Everybody knows the Paul the Master's Road. Everybody who's never heard of Paul the Master's Road, raise your hand.
And when Paul was on the Master's Road, he was there at noonday. It makes the point of saying noonday when the sun is at its feet. And the light was brighter than the noonday sun. Because he wanted to tell him something, he gave a commission. He said, I want you to go out, Acts 26 chapter, and turn them from darkness to light.
Yes, yes.
And you can pray about their money next week. But the first thing I want you to do is turn them from darkness to light.
Yes.
You can pray about their health next week. The first thing I want you to do is turn from darkness to light. You can talk about the Holy Ghost next week, but I need you, first of all, to turn them from
light.
When you show up, they should come out of the darkness because you bring a light. And from the power of Satan and sin unto God. Why?
So that God will forgive their sin. They'll have an inheritance with the saints in life. You can have the men and have what you want. The franchise is built in. So you have everlasting.
I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me.
Brother who's down in the Auburn, I pray for you to stay right where you are and for your Bible study. I'm going to pray for you and that the Lord will direct some things out of your mind before you. And for both of you in different ways, you only sometimes think you're lost, but you're not. You might not know where you are, but God is. And situations might be unfamiliar to you, but they're not unfamiliar to God. So, you know, James said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. So turn to God. Don't expect your roof to roll back. and you see, you know, this, that, the other. Just hear a little, there a little. And allow the Lord. God desires obedience and God desires faithfulness. So God is faithful. You cannot say God on our own. It doesn't work like that. He says, I will lead you to you. That's what the Lord says. If you call now to me, I'll call now to you. You cannot do it on our own. And it's not a hard work, but you must pray, you must read your Bible, and you must worship. All the other things that people bring in, you know, probably about those, but prayer, communication with God, and worship, you must absolutely do. And not because God is so mean that he demands it. Because if you don't do those things, you will not be kept. Father, in Jesus' name, pray, Lord, to bless us today and draw them near. All those, Lord, who are in your presence, Lord, I pray, Lord, you have your word deep in their hearts, O God. Move by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, send your spirit, Lord, not by might, not by power, but Lord, by your spirit, O God. Touch every spirit here. Lord, and bring life to the word of God, to the message of God, to everyone with desire to be in the light. Lord, that they would never go on the walk in darkness. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and then answered, Father, you do not walk in darkness. Lord, give them that desire. Yes. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, keep them unto yourself, O God. In Jesus' name. Lord, we pray today as you're coming, Lord. Remember El Gianni Thompson, Ella Rogers, O God, Ella Pucci Sewell. Remember all those who are in the sick. In any way, Lord, who need the difference and need the gift, O God, to move on their behalf. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that we move among all those, move among these families that have had a relationship that started this day, O God, and let it be maintained, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the love of God. Lord, I pray that every one of us, that we would have that benevolence and that fellowship. Lord, that would come from those, Lord, who have seen the Father, Lord, those who have been in the presence of the Spirit, those in whom Jesus Christ dwells, Lord, those who belong to you. Lord, give us that mindset in that way, O Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, bless this church and add to its numbers. Increase us, O God, in the knowledge of you and the Spirit of God. And let us glorify your name. Lord, bless all those who are traveling for any disease, O God. Keep them safe and on time. Cause, Lord, our everything to